I'm a huge planner, so whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. Mental health is now talked about more than ever, which is awesome. I mean, I don't have to tell you that it's a primary focus of On Purpose. But on a day-to-day basis, many people don't know where to turn or which tools can help. Over the past couple of years, I've been working with Calm to make mental wellness accessible and enjoyable, or as I like to say, fun and easy. Calm has all sorts of content to help you reduce anxiety and stress, build mindful habits, improve sleep, and generally feel better in your daily life. So many bite-sized options from the most knowledgeable experts in the world, along with renowned meditation teachers. You can also check out my 7-minute daily series to help you live more mindfully each and every day. Right now, listeners of On Purpose get 40% off a subscription to Calm Premium at calm.com/J. That's calm.com/JAY for 40% off. Calm your mind, change your life. Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose. It's your host, Jay Shetty. I'm so excited because today we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to share with you a conversation that I recently had where I was being interviewed that I think you're going to love. It was with the You Up podcast. And if you're someone who's been struggling with dating, this episode's for you. If you've been struggling with an ick, this episode's for you. And if there's a friend in your life that you know would really appreciate some greater insights on dating and relationships, this episode's for them. I hope you enjoy it.
The number one health and wellness podcast.
Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty.
The one, the only Jay Shetty.
We love a special guest.
Very special guest. One of our most popular episodes of last year.
Yeah.
If not the most, I think.
The beloved. We should say, that's how I'm going to refer to you. Yes. The beloved Jay Shetty. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me back. We had so much fun last time, so I'm looking forward to today.
So much fun. It's great to have you. We are in awe of you and your success. I think that's something we you came in the first time, and I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to, you know, I'm a cynic on everything.
I loved it.
Yeah, and
we got along though.
That's the thing. I go, I like this guy.
Surprisingly well, yeah.
I walked away, but you come at things in ways that I wouldn't come at them. I come at it with, like, I'm the gremlin hater.
Mm-hmm. The cynical male point of view.
Right, maybe. And I sometimes hear some of the, you know, you're such a calming, positive influence that you can tell people are just happy to have you in their life. Right?
I hope so.
Is that what it is, you think? They're just happy that, like, You're the friend they'd go to when they're hungover, and you'd be like, it's going to be fine. This is going to wear off. We're going to have some bacon, egg, and cheeses. You'll be good.
I mean, talking about that, I remember being the sober friend early on. I was in Spain with some of my friends, and everyone was completely hammered apart from me. This is when I'd chosen to start my, stopping drinking alcohol when I was going out. And all of my friends, I was trying to tell them that some bad stuff was going on and that we should leave this club that we were at. Mm. And they were like, you're the worst friend ever. We're having the best time. You're ruining it. And so I'm actually used to being that friend when everyone else
is drunk.
You're
ruining the party.
I'm ruining the party because I'm trying to protect everyone from themselves.
So you don't drink?
No, I haven't drunk for years now. Yeah.
How many years?
I think it would be 15 years now.
Right. Was it not a big part of your life before? Or?
It was a part of my life in the sense of I love drinking games. I love the competitive aspect of drinking. So
what game?
Ring of Fire was something we played a ton of when we were
kids. What's Ring of Fire?
So in London, I guess everyone starts drinking quite early too. So we started at like 14. And so the guys would get together. We'd play this game called Ring of Fire where you have this big pitcher in the middle that's left in the middle. You all get a glass of beer each, as far as I remember this. The pitcher in the middle is surrounded by cards, playing cards laid face down, and every card has a different meaning. So when you pick up the card, you have to do a certain action, and the last person to do it has to drink. Or the card tells you that you have to drink first, or you have to tell a joke, and if someone doesn't laugh, then you have to drink. Like, there's all these.
That sounds really fun.
It's so good. Right. And then every time you keep drinking more, and then my favorite one was, there's one where, like, the more fingers you can hold towards someone's glass of beer, the more sips that they have to take and things like that. And so it's a super fun competitive game, and I'm probably explaining it badly, and Google probably did a better job.
Do you still play the game without drinking?
I've really thought about how we could make that fun. But I think it was partly the fact that you get delirious after, six beers.
I've never heard someone be like, I was in it for the games.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like if they're at AA.
I could see that.
Flip cup.
I mean, you kind of want to participate.
Gateway. Right.
I played Flip Water with many of my pregnant friends.
Yeah.
It's almost as fun.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I love sports. I love competition. I love
games.
Same.
I love games.
Love it. Well, everyone go listen to Jay's podcast On Purpose. It's out. What you have, the guest list is something that you can't not acknowledge. Who's the guest that you were like, I can't believe this.
Oh, that's a great question. I'm glad we're getting into this as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts as well on who you felt that, because it's
Jay Shetty. He's coming back? What? Okay.
I had such a great time. I think, so I want to acknowledge that, when you launch a podcast, and you guys know this, when I launched or when I was coming up with the idea, it was so hard to book anyone because people had never heard of it. There was no stats. There was no data. You're trying to get someone to understand that you're going to create this safe space, and people don't get it. And so I remember that day, which was 5 years ago now. The podcast is 5 years old. But I want to acknowledge the first guest that made me feel that way was when Kobe Bryant came on in 2019. And that was the first year the podcast had come out. His team had reached out because his team loved what we were doing on the show, and they wanted Kobe and I to connect and meet.
His team reaches out. Explain that to Joe Ohio, who's sitting in their car.
So this is
Columbus,
like his
on their way to not a team.
Everyone who's in his life. So whether it's his assistant, whether it's a publicist, whether it's a different people who had a role in his creative company that he had. So employees, team members, and they'd mentioned to him that they thought it would be cool for us to connect. And so when they reached out, that to me was huge. And to have that in year one, that was a huge honor that year that he decided to do that. So that was pretty amazing.
It's a little bit like dominoes. Like, Kobe did it. He felt safe.
Absolutely.
Then everyone, if Kobe did it.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit like that.
Yeah, so I've got to give him a lot of credit for giving that opportunity.
Since then, you've had everyone from like Kendall Jenner to Michelle Obama, which is, you must just be like, you get to speak to.
I am pinching myself all the time. I'm feeling really, really nervous walking into those rooms. And while I'm preparing and I'm feeling, every bit of imposter syndrome that you possibly can when you're doing this. So, I feel super grateful every day. And it's been amazing. I mean, Kendall was, you spoke about Kendall. I think that was a really important one in our journey of the show. She came on at a time when her episode just brought so many new listeners to our universe. And I always thank her for that, because it was amazing that people were like, oh, we haven't really heard her speak that much and not for that long. And you know, I think what she shared was so powerful and insightful. Like, that clip's gone viral like a million times of her talking about how she thinks about her younger self, and she has a picture of herself at the mirror
and some clip, practice
that she'd done with her therapist. And so I think, you know, I'm really grateful to everyone who trusts me and trusts our space and comes on, because it takes a lot for that person. And I want to acknowledge that. It's never easy to open your heart and open your mind in that way. And so, yeah, each of those people that you've mentioned have made massive shifts. Kevin Hart came on, and that was, you know, so much fun. Again, he had this amazing audiobook, which people don't know Kevin Hart for audiobooks, but his audiobook is amazing. It's called Monsters. And he talks about all the monsters that we deal with inside of our mind. So it's philosophical and comedic. And he's obviously reading it. It's hilarious. And, you know, being able to dive into him from the perspective of monsters and the monsters he has inside of him, it was, you know, it's a spectacular conversation. So I think, yeah, all of these guests have made it easy for me, and I'm really grateful.
What do you think it is about your show that, like, these people, again, like Kendall Jenner doesn't do people aren't doing interviews constantly. What do you think it is about your show that just makes them want to do your show?
I think that all podcasts have a really unique offering, right? Like, I think people go on a podcast. Like, when I came on yours for the first time, it's because from what I'd seen and from what I was hearing from my team, everyone's like, Jay, they're going to get into stuff that no one else is going to ask you, right? This podcast is going to ask you questions. When you were talking about being cynical, my team had already said that there's going to be a version. Oh, my team is my, you know, my podcast.
Yeah.
My podcast producer, who is a huge fan of the show.
And she's like,
I think you're going to get asked questions that you wouldn't get asked anywhere else.
Okay.
And so that's exciting for me, because I also don't want to have the same conversation. I want to have different conversations. Right. That's why I came here. And so I think people come on purpose because they know that there's going to be a safe space to explore depths of themselves that maybe isn't right on other platforms. And so I'm hoping we've created a space where people can talk about their challenges, their flaws, their imperfections, the stresses of life, the perplexities they've had with childhood trauma, their personal mental health journeys, in a way that is relevant, accessible, and practical for people.
I like the perspective, and that's usually where I come to with everything I hear from you, is like, I like the road you took, because I'm looking at that and I go, like, you're like, basically, oh, this show could open a door in my brain that I don't mind opening, but I didn't even know was there before.
Exactly.
I have that with, like, you know, if someone comes up to me and it's like, I have a note for you for a joke I heard you do, would you, and it could be anybody. And I'm like, sometimes it's like an old dad who's going to tell me a Borscht Belt joke, and I'm going to have to, like, you know, he's going to, like, be exhausting. But sometimes someone will say something, I don't even know what it's going to lead to me thinking, or a story that I've never thought of. So I understand that, where you're like, oh, I'm up for the game of, oh, okay, where will this go? But I know it's going to be safe and a little bit, you know.
Totally. And every podcast, I think, plays to that, right? Like, if you want to show a certain part of your personality, I think there's so many podcasts to do that differently on. And so we're just trying to cater to this side.
To that point, I have a question, okay. If that's okay. What do you hate?
That's
we want to
so
know if
funny.
You've ever had a bad day.
I want to hear cynical Jay Shetty. I want miserable, horrible day.
Who do you hate?
What do you hate? When's the last
time?
That's
not on the list of approved questions.
Well, I want to know. Like, I want that Jay Shetty, and I listen because it's within us all. But was there a moment? When's the last time?
Do you get triggered?
Yeah.
So I'll give you a bit of background, because I'm not trying to
a very monk way to go. I get it.
No, so I'll give a bit of background. So anger and hatred have generally not been a part of my psychological approach, because I saw a lot of it growing up.
Okay.
And so I made notes growing up going, I won't demonstrate anger in that way. I won't express hatred in that way.
Where did you see it growing up?
Saw it in my own home, saw it in my school, saw it in my extended family. Like, I saw it very, very up close in a very extreme form. And I made a pact with myself that anger was not something that I was going to play with, because I saw the ramifications it had with other people.
Do you think you can do that with anger? Like, there's people out there that I'm sure, like, I get angry. I would love to say you don't get angry and go, I guess I'm never angry anymore. Like, I think an anger, isn't anger like a sneeze? And is it like a cough? Well,
yeah, no, I'm not saying getting angry is bad. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't get angry and it's not a natural emotion. I think it's an emotion that I kind of negotiated with very early on because I saw what it did, at least in the world that I grew up in. I've had bad days, so that I can relate to.
Thank God.
Let's start. We don't express them in probably the
Let's start. The way. I think if there's anything that does trigger me and does upset me, and which is funny because what I'm about to say is me breaking my own rule, but it upsets me when we don't give others the benefit of the doubt. So when I see people not giving other people the benefit of the doubt or giving them space, it triggers me. But the funny thing is that means I'm not giving that person the benefit of the doubt.
So then I go,
oh, great. Like, you know, and that's what happens. And so, of course, I'm a human. I get triggered. I get upset. I have a bad day. I think the biggest thing for me when I'm having a bad day is probably when I feel that someone in my life is being unnecessarily targeted in their own life, dealing with pain, dealing with stress, dealing with pressure, some pain's coming at them that they don't deserve, that I don't understand. And so that kind of stuff.
Do you have an example
really gets to me.
Of a time where someone in your life was getting, you felt wrongfully targeted?
Or yourself.
Do you read things about yourself? Do you see things and you go, oh. And you, and it, cause I, listen,
we're all online, and
we know, and what we have to do constantly, and again, we have to like, the thing that is, I think it's the worst podcast topic, and we do it all the time, cause you get, it's like catnip. It's right there
feedback.
For you to do. Is responding to feedback when 99% of it, like Jay, I'm sure you get messages. You've changed my life. And you probably get messages that are like, I've gotten messages that bring you to tears. You go, oh my God, this was me talking about my farts was not supposed to make you feel better about a death in your family.
Yeah.
And you get those messages. And you probably get 99% of those. And then you get the one.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just want to like grab them and go, again, benefit of the doubt. How did you come to this such hateful space when my goal was positivity?
Right. How do you take yourself out of it?
And I think, don't you feel though, and I will talk about it, but don't you feel though that over time you've just become, you've recognized that it's part of the job. Like you've accepted that it's part of the job. So like, for example, let's take Michelle Obama. We did this interview with Michelle Obama, which was huge moment for me. So grateful. Like you said, 99% of the comments are like, this is interviews incredible and everything. And then at the same time, you have a lot of people going like, why would you sit down with her because of their political beliefs? Or like, Jay, you sold out. You know, why would you do this? And what I found is that, again, me giving that person the benefit of the doubt, that often that remark is based on something historical far before me.
Right.
And has pretty much very little to do with me and an expectation of me that I'll never live up to in that I'm always going to do things that's going to upset someone. And I've kind of come to terms with that. And on the other side, I've found that if you actually look at the comment section of people who've actually watched the video, the comment section is completely different. Like people have actually watched the interview, listened to the words. Yeah. Instead of the 30-second clip or whatever it may be, if they've watched the YouTube version, you're seeing like completely transformed people. Even people saying, I don't agree with the politics, but this interview helped me with this.
Annoys me that they have to say that. Like, it annoys me that, you know, you must be an expert now because you were able to see beyond your own initial thoughts on someone. How could someone, like, I...
Do you ever block anyone?
Yes, I would. Yes. my
stars are just like us.
Yeah, my personal rule is, I'm happy for someone to leave any honest opinion of theirs as long as they're still following me. Okay. But if someone unfollows me and wants to leave a comment, then and it's hateful, then that's a comment that
kind of your thing too.
I think that's a fair
state. You don't take feedback from anyone who doesn't follow.
No, if you don't follow,
I'll take the feedback. But I feel like if you're saying, Jay, I'm had it with you, I'm unfollowing, and then you've unfollowed and you've left other hateful comments, to me, then it's like, well, we're not in the same community anymore. We're in the same space. But if someone's following me and they want to leave lots of comments that tell me feedback or things they don't like, I will leave it up there because I still consider them a part of our community.
They haven't left the conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't be more excited to share something truly special with all you tea lovers out there. And even if you don't love tea, if you love refreshing, rejuvenating, refueling sodas that are good for you, Listen to this. Radhi and I poured our hearts into creating Juni Sparkling Tea with adaptogens for you because we believe in nurturing your body, and with every sip, you'll experience calmness of mind, a refreshing vitality, and a burst of brightness to your day. Juni is infused with adaptogens that are amazing natural substances that act like superheroes for your body to help you adapt to stress and find balance in your busy life. Our Super 5 blend of these powerful ingredients include green tea, ashwagandha, acerola cherry, and lion's mane mushroom, and these may help boost your metabolism, give you a natural kick of caffeine, combat stress, pack your body with antioxidants, and stimulate brain function. Even better, Juni has zero sugar and only 5 calories per can. We believe in nurturing and energizing your body while enjoying a truly delicious and refreshing drink. So visit drinkjuni.com today to elevate your wellness journey and use code ONPURPOSE to receive 15% off your first order. That's drinkjuni.com. And make sure you use the code ONPURPOSE.
I kind of think of social media as my party.
Yes.
And if you come in and... Well, I block people even if they're following.
You block people just because it's Tuesday.
Right. I randomly go through.
I like this analogy with the party. I have a similar one with the house.
Well, yeah. I think of it as like, this is my party. The music's playing. You have walked in. There are people here dancing. I don't care how many. I don't care. But people are happy to be here. And you came in and go, I hate this music. Let me lead you to the door. Yep. We're going to keep the music playing. But you got to leave. You don't want to be here. It's okay. Goodbye. Right.
So I'm okay with someone being at the party and saying, I don't like the music. Right. They can stay. But it's the person who goes, all right, I don't like the music. I'm leaving. But then they still want to have their opinion be heard. And
they're yelling through the window.
Sounds like my
hey!
Mom.
Hey! Right.
This is a dating podcast. You've written a dating book, 8 Rules of Love, which was great. I read it. Amazing. If you guys haven't read it yet from our last episode, you should... check it out now anywhere books are sold, I assume. So you've done a lot of research on love. You wrote a whole book about it. What do you think, if you look at like the dating landscape now, what do you think is like the biggest issue? Because there's a lot of people who are, I feel like, very frustrated with it. And I mean, from our emails, a lot of women. What do you feel like is the biggest mistake people are making when they're dating?
I think the biggest mistake people are making when they're dating right now is that their list of icks and turnoffs are so long and so wide and so far-ranging that you may miss out on an incredible human being because they wear jewelry and, you know, drink their
and spell you're
matcha
the wrong way.
With a straw, right? Like whatever it is. Yeah. Like, and I started following this really funny TikTok account called, I think it's called Guy with the List. And what he does, and I don't even know what he looks like because he actually never, I don't think he's posted himself or her or them, whoever runs it. And what they do is they'll play all these found clips of people all over the internet saying their biggest ick and turnoff. And then he'll add to his list. And his list is at like 600 now with all these ridiculous things. And so, and I know it's a bit tongue in cheek and it's a bit funny, but I do think it is that like we get turned off so quickly by things that are not actually important in a relationship. Like I always ask people, like, does this make someone inept at being a good partner? Or is it just something that you don't like about them, right? Is it a preference? And I think that preference versus priority conversation is huge.
Well, that's like, you know, I mean, not to go to Plug City, but on my Netflix special, the opening bit is about how I'm on the dating apps and you get in front of it. The dating apps offer you a menu at a restaurant and you're looking at it and you're going, well, I'm not that type of person. It's not even allowing you to smell the person, be around the person. And you say, I'm not going to date a Darlene. Mm-hmm. And then if you met a Darlene in a bar that you got along with, you'd probably date a Darlene. Like,
yes.
I think the ick is a lot of time just excuses to not be vulnerable, to, you know, to say no. It's easier to say no and not do the thing than it is to go into it and go, well, I saw, and then you'd blame yourself once it didn't work out. You go, you should have known they drink matcha through a straw. You know, like it's easier to do that. You beat yourself up. I think that might be kind of the nature of like, we're the Google generation. This is what we do. We look up the place before we go. We don't walk somewhere unless we Google map, even though we've walked there. Like,
Well, it's kind of like, it seems like the issue is almost like there's too many options, right? Where you have dating 200 years ago, you're in an arranged marriage, probably. You're just set up. And like, that doesn't seem great, right? But now it's like, if you live in a city like New York City, there's a million people, maybe, that you probably are in the, that you could possibly date. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, well, I don't, because there's a million people here and there's an app that shows me people constantly, why would I settle for someone who drinks matcha lattes through a straw when there's just another great person out there that I could have? And so I think it'd be great to almost go back to that happy medium where maybe you had 10 choices, not none, not one, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Not a million, maybe.
I mean, you're speaking about something in psychology, which is known as the paradox of choice, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that humans actually make worse choices the more choices and options that they have.
Right.
And this is one of the biggest reasons why we are struggling in dating, or whether the products that we purchase or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think the key is, and I like what you're saying, this balance of having enough of a pool to decide, but not unlimited. And I guess what I'm getting at is, someone drinking matcha through a straw doesn't define what kind of partner they are.
Right.
Whereas we like to joke that it does, right? Maybe that right. defines them in so many other ways. And so what I'm saying is, actually look at what makes someone a good partner and a credible, compatible companion for life, as opposed to...
To take the other side of that, though,
mm-hmm.
you know, the thing that we find on this podcast, the thing that as me as a single person deals with, mm-hmm. when are you okay to be turned off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do you allow yourself to say this ick is more of a ugh, and this ick is funny, starts in funny, but it came from a place of, this is not someone I need to spend my time
Absolutely.
On. I'm a detective. I'm looking for clues. When you're out there dating, you're looking for clues to, I want to get to know that person. So, you know, the wears jewelry or sits crisscross applesauce on a chair. You go, that's generally, you know, a percent, you know, I'm playing the percentages now,
yeah.
you know, so it is, you know, it's easy for, because I see this with the ick stuff online, especially online. You see a lot of men, their feedback to it is like, this is why you're single. And, you know, you got to look through these things. And it's like, well, this person's also allowed to go, I'm playing the numbers game here
for sure.
of what turns me on and off. And if you do A, you'll probably do B, C, D, and it won't be a match for me.
Right.
So I don't
know. But that means, I mean, if you're playing the odds, though, that means you're going to have to get through a lot of people, right?
Right.
Like that's
you need odds to play.
Yeah,
you need,
exactly.
You need numbers.
Well, how long have you been with your wife, remind me?
We've been together now for, it'll be 11 years this year.
11 years.
And married for 8 this year.
And she's basically like your only relationship, correct?
In terms of currently, before?
No, I mean, in terms of like your, like, were you, did you have
his
other relationships before?
Oh, yeah, I dated.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I dated a ton before I became a monk, and then I was a monk, and then since I've left the monastery, my wife's the only person that I've chosen right. to be
what's with. What's your go-to first date when you were dating?
Before?
Yeah.
Back in the day? I mean, I was dating in my teens, so it's like whatever you could afford, right? Like maybe you're going like ice cream, bowling, cinema. I mean, going to the movies was probably the most common date.
Well, which is a pretty, I mean, you say this on you know, in your book that, you know, yeah. watching a movie together, watching Netflix together.
Oh, that rubbed people a lot.
That's like, you hate that, right?
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/onpurpose to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/onpurpose. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. On Purpose with Jay Shetty is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Many of you know that one of the most important aspects of my life is my connection with others. Travel has become one of the best ways for me to connect with people, whether that be my community, my family, friends, or loved ones, or all of you. Most of my family lives outside of the US, so traveling around the holidays, birthdays, or other special occasions is something that we're accustomed to. As we grow older, oftentimes our families or loved ones end up living in different areas as us, making it challenging to get together due to various schedules and commitments. With Booking.com, I'm able to efficiently book travel and accommodations for everyone in my family so that we can spend quality time together. They also make it easy to book travel for the various types of travelers in my family so that each person in my family can authentically be the traveler they want to be, no matter the destination. Once a year, my family takes a trip together to a US destination where none of us live or are visited. We find this helpful in making sure that everyone is truly present and able to unplug from their normal routines, resulting in more meaningful conversations and connections. Experiencing new places with those close to you allows you to bond over a shared experience. Booking.com's breadth and variety of accommodations in the US has made the destination selection and booking process not only easy, but fun. Travel can also foster new connections. Visiting different cities has allowed me to build connections with all of you, my community, most of whom I've never met in person and otherwise would have not crossed paths with. The in-person relationships that are built and strengthened through travel is something that each of us can benefit from. Book whoever you want to be on booking.com, booking.yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about this in an interview, and I think there's different responses to it. Some funny, some mad at me, but it was this idea of, I was talking about to so many couples recently, and they were just feeling like they don't feel connected. They don't feel like they're deepening their intimacy. They don't feel like their relationship is growing. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying that, hey, if that's how you feel, then if the number one activity you do is watch a show together, but that show is not leading to an interaction, a connection, a sharing of ideas or thoughts or feelings or whatever it may be, then maybe it's because you're not doing other things together. And what I was extending out to people was this idea that I found, even in friendships, right? This applies to all relationships. They get deeper and better and more intimate and more connected when you're doing other activities together. So I encouraged, obviously, experiences, experiments, getting educated together, learning about something together. When you're growing together, you feel like you're moving in the same direction. Even if you're both doing your own entrepreneurial venture, but you come back and share your notes. Mm-hmm. There's so much more we can get from love and relationships that I think we miss out on. Empathize with it.
Do you feel like you and your wife, because you guys you're in the same industry. You guys work together. You know,
we don't work together like professionally apart.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you look
guys
at your
great gap ad together.
Oh yes,
we did that. That was a project.
Yeah, we did that together.
Came out great.
Thank you. If you look at your social media, like you guys are in the same.
Yes. Now we are.
You're peers. You're like colleagues.
Absolutely.
And, you know. So, is that helpful, the relationship? Do you ever get like, is there jealousy in that? Like, how do you work? Because working together is great because you're communicating, you have something in common, I would imagine. What's the negative part of that?
Like, so the number one thing I hear when someone comes up to me is, hey, Jay, I love your wife. Like, and people literally come up to me and go, yeah, you're all right, but your wife is amazing. And I'm like, I know. Like, and that's kind of how our life has gone, where I make friends with people because I generally am a bit more extroverted and I'll go make relationships. I'll introduce them to my wife and then I'll never see that friend ever again. And they become best friends with my wife. So I'm used to that. I think.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you ever have to kind of like, look, I have sometimes, there's a thing when you put out a lot of stuff into the world.
Yes.
You know,
content.
You can't, people come up to you and they say things to you that feel pointed. Like, you're okay, but I love your wife.
Yeah.
And that does feel, it feels like they're trying to neg you a little bit. I can understand that.
I feel like they're trying to humble me.
That's what, absolutely. And I would
but
feel the same way.
He doesn't get triggered by that though.
No triggering.
I love it. I love my wife. She is amazing.
But is that how you deal with it? Do you go, well, this is a compliment on me because look at me being with this wonderful person that they love. Do you have to do that ever? Like,
in my head?
I'll have people come up to me and they'll go, oh man, they were just at my show.
Yeah.
Love the charcuterie stuff you do. I'm like, and then I get mad at the other stuff I put out.
Right. What about what you just
saw? What about the thing you just saw? Yeah.
That is the exact point of mindfulness training. Like, this is exactly.
Jared doesn't meditate. Could you tell?
Yeah, no, but this is exactly.
This is my meditation.
This is why when we're having this conversation, it's so alien to people. And it's not because I was born without anger or hatred or any of these things. Yeah. The point is, that is the point of mindfulness, that when I'm hearing that, my circuit board internally is going, I love my wife. I love that someone else loves my wife. This is awesome, right? Like, it's brilliant. Mm. And I found that I think if I wasn't secure in who I am and what I'm doing, I think that would trigger me.
Right.
And I think that's what's really interesting. I don't know if you saw this movie. I think it was on Netflix this year called Fair Play.
Yes.
A lot of people haven't
about
seen
like
it.
The I'm glad. Finance.
Correct. So it's based on a couple. It's a movie. Mm. This couple are madly in love. He's just proposed. They're about to get married. But they both get put up for the same promotion at work.
Okay. And so now
at a hedge fund. So they're now competing in an ultra competitive environment for the same job. I'm not going to tell you anymore if you haven't seen it. So I'm laying it up so that you watch the movie, but the movie does a great job of showing like gender roles, people feeling emasculated, like the challenges that come in the bedroom because of the intimacy, you know, everything else that goes on. And so I recommend watching the movie. But I think a lot of that comes from us feeling irrelevant, insignificant, or unfocused on who we are. And I think when you feel a sense of calm and confidence about what you offer and what you don't. So I do agree that if I didn't know what I was doing for work and I didn't know who I was, then I think that kind of stuff would really trigger me. And so I've constantly tried to work on who I am and who I want to be.
Right. I think all triggers, like you said, are kind of come from a place of insecurity. But I mean, I feel like there's a sense of being secure in who you are, but there's certain, I mean, everyone has do you have any insecurities?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, to be totally vulnerable, I think I get, you know, there's a few things I'll dive straight into. One of it is, I think that sometimes when I meet people, again, this is the 1%, not the 99.
Right. We have to say that.
We have to say that.
It is so important to say.
So everyone knows that people mostly love us.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But like sometimes I'm insecure that when I'm around someone that they're wanting me to say something wise all the time. So I have an insecurity of like, God, if I don't say something profound and wise. And in the past, I would really overthink that. I'm sure you have this for being funny.
Yeah, no,
right? Like you have to be funny. So if I'm not wise in a room and you're not funny in a room, then we've lost the room, right? Like that feeling. So I used to carry this around.
Has it turned around now? Because I used to, you haven't been very funny. I just go, well, good luck. And then I move on from the person. I go, we are not. I used to carry that around really heavily, and
I used to feel so much pressure.
Yeah.
And I would feel stressed, and then I found I wasn't even present, and then I found I'm not even listening because now I'm trying to say the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I let go of that, and now I just act like myself. So if I'm tired, I'll be tired. If I'm exhausted, I'll be exhausted. If I'm buzzing, I'll be buzzing. If I'm trying to be funny, I'm just going to be because I'm just so much more comfortable in my own skin now.
I'll say it. For someone to like, if you're like, hey, what do you do? And you're like, well, I do mindfulness. I was a monk. And they go, well, I haven't had my life changed yet. Yeah. Like for someone to react like that is such a piece of garbage.
But sometimes people are looking for it too, right? And I think, so that's one thing. And then I also get in insecurity. So I've definitely had that and I carried that for a long time. I think that sometimes you have an insecurity of people feeling like you think you're important. So it's kind of like you walk in a room and people assume that you think you're important or that you've bought into your own hype.
Right.
And so now you're trying to kind of make prove them wrong. Prove them
wrong
and make sure that everyone realizes that, no, we're cool. Like,
I'm
humble.
Right.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. Like, we're cool.
You're so lucky you're not single. Because this is what women do to you. And I'm saying women do this to you. I know this as a single guy.
I think men do that too.
Of course.
I used to get, you know, when I was single, so are you funny? And I'd be like, well, it depends who you ask.
Right, you tell me.
But that's a great answer because you're not trying to appease, and that's what I found. Right. You're not trying to appease the person and you're also not being rude. Right. And it's just an honest answer and you're just being real. Like, that's a very normal response.
That answer will always, I think, disarm the conversation.
It's a great answer. And you're right. It is, no matter the gender, if you're single, this is what you deal with as a single, because you're dealing with variables. You have people that are coming in and trying to make a move on you or be flirty or be funny and show who they are right away. So it turns into, oh, you're not that great. And it's like, that's not a, you didn't have to say that. You didn't have to say I was great. I'm just here to meet you, you know?
And that's the thing with dating. I think that you do the best when you're looking for the positive, as opposed to when you're trying to almost, you come in defensive, or you come in trying to, you know, make the person feel like you're good enough for them. And that's why people do things like that.
Well, I think so often in the dating scene, we're trying so hard to make someone like us without even knowing whether we like them. Right. So we go into him like me, like me, like me, like me. Right. And then they like us. I'm like, wait a minute. Do I even know who this person is?
Right. And you can't know that when you're 22. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that is aging, too. Yeah. Like, so much of this.
Yes.
Isn't genius. It's growing up and going and being self-reflective. Like, it takes time, because I know exactly, you know, when I was 25 starting comedy, I remember this guy sat next to me in a bar. Oh, and I said, I'm a comedian. It was like the first time I ever said, he's like, tell me a joke. And I'm like, and I take like no cards. And I'm like, well, is this one? He's like, well, you're gonna have to work on that. And I'm like, I guess you got me. Like, I don't know that feeling, but I think that's 38, what I would never do that.
Yeah, it's that feeling of people trying to get you. I carry that insecurity. I feel like sometimes I'm in a room and I'm like, all right, someone's just trying to get me. And that's an uncomfortable anxiety and nervousness to carry around. And I was speaking to, you know, people who are far more, you know, successful and everything else than I am. And they were saying to me, like, just the amount of anxiety they carry, because every word they say is going to be analyzed, overanalyzed, printed, scripted, put out there for the world, you know.
Right.
And so you start, and that's for people, I'm talking about people who are, you know, who every word that they say is the front
page. Politicians.
Of a new,
Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
And like, Kendall Jenner says one thing off script that's written down.
Yeah.
She's apologizing it for a month.
Right. Totally, people don't forget. Like, look at Kim. People never work anymore.
Yeah. So you carry you start carrying a tiny bit of that, you know, you start worrying. And one of the things I was thinking about that you raised, which isn't about dating, but maybe it comes into that, was, you know, there was a time when things were really starting to take off. And I've generally been someone who, despite challenges, despite things that are going wrong, I've always tried to focus on the wins and amplify the greatness and the goodness, because I believe that attracts more abundance. Mm-hmm. And so I've generally been that way. And I've always been like that.
What do you mean?
In the sense of, like, for example,
if you have a win, you're like, celebrate the win.
Is it hard doing what we all do? Of course it is. It's challenging.
Right.
But I look at the things I'm grateful for far more than I'll focus on the things that are challenging, because I think that's a healthier way to live, or it's the way I like to live.
Right.
And at one point I realized, when I was doing that, I saw that a few of the people I was hanging around with, I could tell that me sharing the growth that I was having was rubbing them the wrong way.
Right.
And so whenever I was with them, I would now try and be more negative, to be more relatable. And it was an insecurity that I had, because I was like, well, I need them to feel comfortable around me, so I'm going to start saying things that are going wrong so that they do realize my life is hard and bad and all the rest of it. And I started really just getting into my own negativity cycle, because now I'd opened a door that I didn't used to open before.
Well, I think a lot of single people can relate to that, where it's like you get a dating win and you go back to your other single friends and they're not as happy about it, you know, as you are.
Well, it's like sort of a silent race, it feels like.
Right.
Yeah. And it's so hard, because you love that person. You don't want to agitate someone. You don't want to trigger someone. At the same time, you want to share this thing that you're going through and you're experiencing, not in an egotistic way, but in a sharing of the heart way. And I think it's tough. So anyway, I'm laying out all my insecurities to you.
No, this is
exclusive. This is right here.
I have tons. It's hard, I would assume, because people come to you for answers.
Yeah.
And you give them answers that are very concrete and said very well, and something that they can kind of go repeat to themselves in those times of their own insecurities. Are there things that you, where do you look to? What's your, do you have a person that you look, what podcast are you listening to?
Like,
what
this
are
you, one.
I definitely feel like I grew up on a lot of Oprah, which was, which is huge and very inspiring. So big fan. But I think for me, there's two things I look to. One thing is, I just love studying humans. Like, I love observing people, people online, people's lives. I read a ton of biographies. I watch biopics. I love, like, if you watch the David Beckham documentary that just came out on Netflix.
I haven't seen it. Everyone loves it.
Highly recommend it. And it's like, I grew up following him. And so I knew everything that was in the documentary, but it was just this feeling of like, I love studying a human's journey and how, you know, at one point he was completely villainized in the country and people hated him because he got sent off in a massive World Cup game, all the way through to he's one of the most adored icons of all time. And so you get to see that. So I feel a lot of my learning comes from studying, researching, and watching patterns and people and human behavior. That's kind of what I get a buzz
off. Watching people.
Yeah.
Who on the plane do you hate the most?
Who on the plane?
Yeah.
Do you're I hate the most?
You travel. I travel a lot.
I do too.
Sure you the most. And I know you. Yeah, you're all.
What
over.
Is your biggest traveling pet peeve?
Okay, travel time is my sacred time to be alone.
Okay.
And not.
I believe
engage.
In that. It is a great time to
switch off.
Cry to switch off and to like really say, I'll eat and drink anything I want.
Yep.
It's game over. I'm with you.
Because you said like there's a lot of pressure to feel like humble. There's a lot of pressure to feel, I'm sure, to like be the most zen friendly.
No, I'm just looking over while
like,
I'm.
Do you ever have to be like to someone like, this is actually my sacred time?
No.
It's
more like while I'm catching up and Selling Sunset and the person next to me going, does Jay Shetty watch Selling Sunset? You know, it's that kind of feeling of like, oh God, I'm going to get judged for what I'm watching now. You know, it's like, it's that kind of feeling of like, please don't judge me. So,
Well, this is so great. We're happy you're a Foss, friend of the show. Friend of the pod, Fots. Something like that.
It keeps getting worse.
We write to edit. Listen, I will say, being in the room with you, you do have this filling energy to you. Do people say that to you a lot?
I don't know.
It's like a star power.
Breath of fresh air. I love it. Everyone go listen to Jay's podcast. Go follow Jay if you don't already.
Read the book.
Read the book. It's all there.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Wednesday and Sunday with Solving Your Dating Needs. And we did it again.
We did it again. We'll be back on Wednesday. Bye. Boom.
If you love this episode, you will also love my interview with Kendall Jenner on setting boundaries to increase happiness and healing your inner child.
You could be reading something that someone is saying about you and being like, that is so unfair because that's not who I am. Mm. And that really gets to me sometimes. But then looking at myself in the mirror and being like, but I know who I am. Why does anything else matter?
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.